Well, since nobody except Andrew turned in last week, what we're going to talk about today is what we were going to talk about last week. And what we were going to talk about last week was what occurred the week before. So now we are several weeks behind. So here's the story. For the last 6 months or so, Ms. M and I have been asking, so what the fuck now do we do? Where does this go? Nobody seems to be applying, reading, understanding what we've said in Forever Living and about your life. Did you turn on the recorder in here, by the way? So, if that's true, and it seems to be so, then what good is it all? I'm not in the mood or position to teach Forever Living or teach all of these things. I really, really don't care to teach these things. The only reason we have Monday nights or Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and other day conversations is because I'm trying to decide how to say the things that I want to say about life and what all. Not because I'm trying to teach you or nor am I saying this is what you must do and live. I don't really care. But in that case then, I guess the question is, how or in what way do we go from here? And then, a bunch of strange, not really strange for me, because they happen all the time, things and events occurred. But before I get into that, anybody want to take on that question? So, where do we go from here? It seems that nobody really, unless you're growing older and approaching death, or unless you're sick, or unless your relationships suck, or your money and your prospects are terrible, or your life is gradually sinking into a hole, nobody seems to give a shit. So does anybody want to take that on and make some comments like, well, Roger, I don't know. How about this?
How about just as to what you do? I have no comments on that. In terms of not putting into my life, all I can say is from your perspective, I think that's probably very clear, you know, because you know what to expect and such. Myself, I feel like I'm constantly thinking about it. You said before, it's not something you apply while you're living your life, so I'm trying to live it as my life.
Well, I think how do you do that?
I'm not really doing what you were expecting me to do with this, and so I, no argument there. I just, I'll say this one thing, though, as a person who sits on, this end of the conversation, sometimes it's a lot to try and, keep track of, and I try to remember which image I'm following, and, everything from the theater with the house lights and the stage in the round to other things. I'm dealing with that. Mm-hmm.
You all always want examples, illustrations, and metaphors. So I give you illustrations, examples, and metaphors, and now you're telling me it's too much.
Well, not now. I'm not telling you now it's too much. I mean, I'm just saying, we cover a lot of ground over the last bunch of years, and
most of that is merely the examples or illustrations you ask for. What ground?
Right.
What is so much ground. Tell me what is so much ground. To me, it is so clear and particular and whatever. I don't see where it is, and well, that, you know, that's the way I see it. But I don't see it as
so,
being so difficult.
For you. So is it for you, is it just like one basic concept, one thing that you just see over and over and over in everything?
Of course.
Same thing? Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking today.
And what you try to do then is, I don't know. I don't know what you try to do. I really do. Anybody else want to chime right in? Well, then,
I sort of along the line of what Andrew had to say, and it's more a matter of, it seems like I'm just beginning to get my feet under me with something that we've been working on with you, when we break into what seems like a whole new thing, and I have a hell of a time linking the two together. And sometimes it seems that you get so far ahead, in quotes, of where I'm at, that it's a struggle just to try to begin to work an image of what you're saying. And most of the time, it's like I'm running to catch up, and I don't seem to be able to get much of an operating image going.
Is it possible that you didn't create an operating image as we went along, such that you have no context or no valid context to put everything in or upon in that regard?
Well, that's entirely possible. And I'm reminded also that in fact, as you said, that you give illustrations, examples, or similes, or metaphors. And in fact, after what I think I've had a mind-bending exercise with you for 2 hours, upon considering it later, I realize that you've said essentially the same thing 12 years ago.
Right.
And
but you didn't put that into any context. And
well,
so you didn't understand it 12 years ago because you wouldn't, or didn't, put it into a context that made sense in your life. You treated that as exterior of what it is that you were living and knew and understood at that time. When in fact that wasn't really true. But you treated it that you held it off at arm's length and didn't then give it a context for understanding. For instance, one of the things that happened was I got an email from, Andrew knows this person, I got an email from Norway, guy I haven't talked to in years. And the last time I talked to him on email, last time I really talked to him was at Andrew's house. But the last time I talked to him on an email, I said some things that obviously pissed him off, and so I hadn't heard from him. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, here's the last 2 weeks or so, he writes and asks a question. So I write back to him. He writes to tell me, I gotta back up again. When I did a reading for him and we talked about it at Andrew's house with him, and we talked about open, honest, intimate communication and relationships, he said, well, then I guess I will never have an intimate relationship. Well, okay, the way he was talking at that time, that's probably true. Well, anyway, off he goes back to Norway. And then I get letters about his family, his wife, etc. And I made, and all what he was doing about learning how to do readings and teachings from other people and all of this kind of stuff. Well, I made some comments about that and that pissed him off, so I didn't hear from him. Now here we are, 8 years later or whatever it is. And he's telling me all about his kids and his fun and his relationships and his job and what he's doing and how great it was, and everything was just hunky-dory. And he asked me a question, and I gave him an answer. But in the answer that I talked about a loner body. Did he understand that his body was not him, that it was created by his parents, and that it was a loner body to him, and living his loner body, then he's not really living himself. And then I went on and answered his question that he asked me. Well, then I got a letter back. He told me all about his family and other things, but he asked a question. Because I had told him then, you never did understand forever living. Apply that to yourself, everyone listening in. You never did understand forever living. So then he asked, okay, well, what can I do to, how can I understand forever living? So I wrote him back. I said in my last letter, I talked to you about loner body. If you want to understand forever living, start by telling me what loner body, or the knowledge of loner body, which is indisputable because your parents made your body, not you. And the DNA was passed on to you. It's their DNA, not yours. It was passed on to you. And the self that comes along with that was passed on to you. It isn't necessarily you at all. Now this came up in the 1970s and everybody said, oh, well, you chose your parents. Well, how the hell did you do that? Anyway, so I said, I wrote it back and I said, you tell me what the knowledge of the loner body, how that affects your view of life and your understandings of life today. Well, we went over loner body. I never heard a word from anybody about anything. Does anybody have any concept of how just the nature of loner body, it's indisputable how the very nature of loner body alters or changes everything you've ever been taught about life? Anybody want to touch a little bit on that? Don't everybody rush to speak at once.
Well, I'm just thinking, hang on a second. I don't want to start here. I guess the thing that's impressed me the most about it
is, I didn't ask you that. Whoa. Stop.
The idea that...
No, I asked you a question, and I only want my question answered. I don't want you to take it to changing the subject. I didn't ask you what impressed you. I said to you, I asked you the question, how does the concept of loner body, which to me is indisputable, how does that concept change everything you've ever been taught or thought about yourself and life today and the universe? Not even an inkling of that.
The question for me is too big. I mean, you're stating it is beyond the... To me, it changes some ideas about myself and what my body is and you know, what I'm doing in my life. But everything, I don't know how to answer that question.
Well, then you don't answer that question. Then you won't do anything about that. You'll take what I sent you, I wrote specifically and sent out to everybody, so you would have it in writing in that way, so it would be indisputable, and gave it no thought. If you downloaded it, you then filed it away somewhere and gave it no more thought. It went right back to, well, you know, this is life as usual. Okay, that was one happening. And when I sent it back to him, I said, tell me how this affects your life. What does this mean to you? If this doesn't mean anything to you, then you haven't got a possibility of beginning to understand forever living. I tell you the same thing. Next question. I sent out...
Can I answer the last question?
Yeah, sure. Who's this?
Susan.
Okay.
Well, the loner body is just like a default, right?
I don't know. Don't tell me. Yeah, right. You tell me how
the
that...
The loner body is a default that you get to work with. And...
Wait a minute. Why do you say default? I don't understand what you mean by default.
Because that's what you were, how you were dealt.
What?
So that's just what you ended up with.
But why is it a default?
Well, default from your parents. From
why is it a default?
That's how I look at it.
Okay, I'm just asking you why you use that word. I don't quite understand, but okay, if you want to call it a default, then you've dismissed the importance and significance of your loner body and self.
No, but, because if you don't do something with that, then all you have is what you got by default.
Okay, I understand that, but go ahead then.
And that's the importance of the loner body. It gives you something to work with.
Okay, but then you are, in a sense, living a default self, a default life, a default beliefs and understandings and awarenesses. Are you not?
Unless you can live the life that you desire or create that.
I didn't understand you. What you said?
Unless you create the life you desire.
How do you do that? If you've got a default body and a default self, and a default beliefs and understandings, how the hell do you create the self and life you desire? You don't even know, because you're living a default everything. How the hell do you know? Even if you created the life your default body desires, it's a default life.
But it still shows you how you're living.
So what, Joe? I'm going to show you how you're living your default life. What the hell does that got to do with anything?
Because you're living the life you desire.
No, you're living the life your default body desires. Doesn't anybody want to jump in here and help, Susan?
Help.
I guess nobody wants to give you any help, Susan.
All the clues are in there, so if you study your loner body and self...
I didn't hear you. What?
He gives you the clues, so if you study your loner body and self,
what difference does it make? Let's assume that it is a loner body or self. Supposing you lived your life for your neighbor, is that going to do you any freaking good?
No, Well, there's a clue in there about how...
No clue in there at all.
No, take that as a reading, then there's a clue in there how I desire to live.
No, there is not a clue in there at all about anything you desire. None whatsoever.
Well, I've been looking for those clues.
Only thing that it does is show you what you are living. And in that, then, it shows you to the default body and self and beliefs you are living. But nothing in that shows you what you truly desire or who you truly are.
Like, if you were an architect, or if you showed people how the universe works for over and over, and you're going to body...
It doesn't necessarily show anything about the truth of me. None. Zip. Zilch. Doesn't anybody want to help Susan out? So, there we are. Loner body.
I like that word truth, though.
I didn't hear you.
And I like that word truth.
Well, you're fading away from me. I can't hear you.
Oh, I said I like the word truth.
You like the word what?
Truth. It didn't show you the truth of you.
It didn't show you a damn thing about you and what you truly desire. If you think it did, it didn't. It lied to you. Well, it didn't really lie to you. It showed you what you were living, but that wasn't you. It talks about your neighbor, not you. Now what?
Why would I be living my neighbor?
Your loner body is not you, and I'm just saying it is as strange to you as your neighbor is. That's all I'm saying. So why would you be, if you say, well, why would I be living my neighbor? Well, then why would you still be living your loner body and self? Well, okay, let's just pass it by. You can begin to see, since nobody wanted to jump in and help you in any way, that everything that I wrote about loner body and how it applies to what we've been saying all these years just went down the tube. So, if you think that's the only thing that went down the tube, let me talk about the next thing in a row.
Okay.
2 or 3 weeks ago, I was talking with Angela in Thailand. She's writing her second book. And I asked her, among other things, as this thing goes along, is, well, what is she going to do with God? Well, you know, she said, I'll put that in the last chapter. I said, why would you put it in the last chapter? It needs to be in the first chapter. Everybody, whether they'll acknowledge it or not, is concerned about, is there a God or is there not a God? And if there is a God, what's his function in my life? I said, Angela, you got to put the nature of God in, or no God, I don't care which you do, in the first chapter. Oh, no, she said. If I put it in the first chapter and somebody read that, then they would be pissed off and wouldn't read the rest of my book, and I wouldn't want that. So I'll put it at the end so that after they bought the book and read the book and et cetera, if it's at the end, well, it's too late. They've got the book by then. I said, but they have no context to understand anything you are saying. Now, you guys don't believe that. So let's look at it. The nature and belief in God or no God has been around for thousands of years. Oh, wait a minute now. And then what God is, and how God functions, and how it functions in your life, is been around for thousands of years as well. And if your loner body is based on the ancestors of your body and the DNA and the self, then the loner body and self is fundamentally based on God as religion has said it to be. So whether you believe there is a God or is not a God, and you're living your loner body, you are living that there is a God as religion has described it to be for 6,000 years, whether you like it or not, because that's the nature and awareness and understanding of your loner body. You can't just say, remember I said 2 weeks ago, you can't just say, well, I don't believe that. You do believe that because you're living your loner body, and you can't just automatically disbelieve it. So, in order for then anything that I tell Angela, anything that you say, how do you say this in such a way that, well, you may not believe in religion's God, but that's what they believe in the nature of their loner body. Oh, no, 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 she says. I was raised Catholic. I don't believe in that anymore. Well, yes, 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 you do. Andrew believes in his Catholicism. Patrick believes in his religion of something or other. Everybody still believes the religion and the understanding of their loner body. And there's no exception to that, as long as you're living your loner body. Well, there you are. What would you do with that? You say, no, no, I believe in spirituality, but I don't believe in religion's God. Or I believe that God is a force in the power in the universe, but I don't believe he's a dirty old man up in the sky. But you still believe God is a creator of the universe, the maintainer of the universe, and the power and source of you. Now what the hell are you going to do? You believe either that there is a God, as described by religion, or there is not a God. You don't give yourself a third option. You don't, like I have said about Dawkins, in a biochemist from England, UK, and this other big atheist from France. You don't explain how the universe, absent a God, could come about, and how your life can function without God, as determined by, as expressed by, language and religion. Would anybody like to take that on? If you can't tell me an alternative, then you're saying you don't believe in God doesn't wash. It's crap. It's an utter waste, because you think you don't believe in God, and yet God is in your genes. If you don't believe me, look in your side pocket. Reach in there and you'll find God. What the hell you want to do about that? Is there anybody still listening? Or is everybody quietly hung up?
I was just going to say, honestly, I didn't realize that loner body displaced God.
Loner body what?
Displaced, replaced, supplanted God. I didn't realize that.
I didn't say that the loner body replaced or supplanted God. I said the loner body makes you live God as it has been taught. because those are the beliefs that have been there for 6,000 years, and that's a form and nature of your loner body. You're screwed with that.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, I was just answering the first question. You said how loner body changes everything, your view in life, and I didn't realize that it went to that. That's all I'm trying to say.
How can you not? That's what I'm talking
about. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to try to give you some feedback here. Because with the loner body was introduced a universal being, an abiding self, and a couple of things that I just don't have.
We haven't. The loner body does not introduce any of those things. Because I introduced some of those things, that was an effort to get you to understand that you're living your loner body, and as long as you live your loner body, you cannot, will not understand nor live anything other than that.
Okay.
You in this, Patrick, are you still out there?
I'm here, and I'm confused all to hell.
Well, good, then bring it up.
Well, then, the realization for me about the whole idea of loner body is then that there is something other than this body, Patrick, that's involved in living, and that this the loner body is a convenient vehicle, living and expressing, but who the me, the who that is actually living, you've called it a universal abiding being. And getting my head around the whole idea of an abiding being that in some manner or fashion continues, but continue per in physical incarnation, then that's such a mind-bending concept that they all go together.
Patrick,
that,
what I said to the Norwegian and I will say to you is, I have been speaking of these things so that somewhere along the line you would come up and say, well then, God damn it, I better do something with my loner body and change my concepts and beliefs because they are not the ones that I truly desire. You can't overlay universal being on this. What you have to do is to say, if I'm living my loner body, how do I get to then live and be as a universal being?
We've gone over that all kinds of times, that and you've helped us describe a universe that can exist without a creator God. That we spoke of the quiescent universe that is simply data that is moving and it's not moving. And slowly but surely through entanglement, particle A and particle B and all the way up the alphabet become entangled, and slowly but surely data becomes the collection, we call that information, and these things come together through association and entanglement, and out of that this is describes or illustrates a universe that functions through emergence. There is no thing causing any other thing. There's just a bunch of actions going on, and arising from those actions, there's something new.
Well, I didn't say most of those things, but go ahead. Just don't blame me for having said those particular things. You've lost the sequence or the continuance of what I've been saying, but go from there.
No, I don't want to go from there unless you tell me where I've lost the continuum.
Because I never said that there was this action that, occurs in emergent. What I've said is the universe only reacts, and it's important to understand that the constituents that we're talking about are themselves reactions, not actions. There is no consciousness of the universe to action. The universe cannot action.
Roger, hang on a second. Then answer me a question. Then if I am wrong that as in a quiescent universe that is only data, that is motion but not motion, that there is particle A comes in contact with particle B
Particle A comes in contact with particle B, that's the reaction. And everything after that is merely a reaction. That's why I said the universe functions randomly. It is a reaction. It is not an intentional action. There is no intention in the universe.
So at the very, very first, if there is such a thing, a concept at all, of first, there is random movement.
That's without intention.
Comes in contact with another particle of data, and there is a reaction to that contact.
And then there is another reaction, and another, and an infinite, innumerable, and out on forever. Everything after that is a random, which means unintentional. There is everything is based on random actions until we get you.
And action, it has been a reaction to former reactions.
That's right. So then you get reactions functioning together to emergent, a different reaction functioning together to function to react a different reaction. Yes.
And that somewhere along the line, this leads to coalescence into tangible, visible matter.
Okay, and we can then discuss how in particular that can occur. Yes, indeed. But nowhere do we have to say that God functioned or intentionally created that matter.
That's absolutely essential, or God exists.
And I said to you guys, okay, years ago I said, you won the lottery, you're here. Now what are you going to do? And I'm saying, if you got here without God, now what are you going to do without God Creator? That was the point of that.
Roger, that skips a whole bunch for me.
Well, that's what I said, you know, years and years ago.
Oh, I know, but I mean that the whole idea that just talking about it from, okay, run the lottery, here we go. What are you going to do about it now?
Okay, so
there's this huge gap for me in an image coming together is, how is there even the spark of intention to become embodied, or is that an error in thinking? Does even the embodiment is non-intentional and just shows up?
Of course.
It is non-intentional and just shows up.
Let's assume that for the moment anyway. Yeah, let's assume that. Doesn't that change everything in your life?
Oh, just bloody rights it does.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. If you don't understand the context from the get-go in that regard, then you really don't understand that, and you maintain, whether you believe it or not, you maintain. Well, wait a minute. Let me pause here for a moment, okay? And let me tell you something else. In the middle of all of this, telling Angela, well, you can begin to see you've got to discuss God in the first chapter so everybody know has a context or understanding of what you're talking about, I got a phone call from somebody else I hadn't heard from in 5 or 6 years, another person. He's on the island here. I talk to him every 4 or 5 years or whatever. And he says, Roger, I have a question for you. Simple little question. Is there a God? Is there a being or beings that we call God? Do they exist? Well, we discussed that for quite a while. So my question is this. I guess we can say that yes, there is a God, according to language, is going to lead to one set of contexts of your life. Or you could say, no, there is no God, and that leads to a second context of yourself and life. Is there a third? Is there a third option relative to God? Is there a God? Is there not a God? Have you covered all of the bases? Or is there a third option? What would you say to the person who calls and says, is there a being that we know or beings that we call God? Do they exist? What would you say? Because this is fundamental and absolutely critical in your life. Is there a God? Is there a third option? Yes or no?
I think there is a third option.
What is that third option? What would you say? Now, let's keep in mind. Wait a minute. Let me say something else there. Keep in mind that if there is a third option that Angela spells out in chapter 1, wouldn't that third option create a context of understanding for all the other chapters in her book that would be entirely different relative to yes, there is, and no, there isn't?
I think that's true.
Then, is there a third option? Is there a God or is there not a God? And if it is, what and how would you describe that third option? And then, from that description, is it possible that you would begin seeing yourself in life? You won the goddamn lottery. Here you are, from an entirely different perspective.
I'm still working on a clear description of what I think is could be involved here. I think is that somehow or other, across time, humans got mixed up, and what we have is actually our own personal muse that...
What do you want God to be? Yes or no?
I want to be my standard that I live.
I didn't hear you.
I want God to be me, my standard that I live.
So then you create God. God didn't create you. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And
well,
and
then how would you want to create God? Because how you would want to create God, doesn't that change the whole context of the life that you are living and creating?
And that's absolutely true, and that begins to give me some sense of what I may want to do relative to that after all this time of trying to see what kind of image that I would live eternally.
Well, wait a minute.
And it is.
Wait a minute. Can I say that for at least one millennium and probably more, you have struggled with this particular question only.
I would think you are very correct.
Then could we say, you, or ask, you as a samurai, how and what way would you want to create a lord?
Absolutely.
The lord that you would create as a samurai or struggle against, that's what you did. You ended up struggling against the lord or the relationship or the context of your life as it was established for you. What then in that life form would and how would you create the lord you truly desire? And how would you create the God you truly desire? And don't you feel that the relationship between samurai and lord, as created by others, was to control you, and that you bitched about ever since and struggled against ever since? And can we not say then that the God that religion created and imposed upon you was the same Lord that controlled and limited you? Then what do you want?
I want all the power of God that has been vested.
Wait. No, don't tell me that. You want to get the power, have the power, etc. What are you going to do with God? He's got the power.
Well, didn't we just go through a process a moment ago showing that we can all exist, the universe, I think, without there even being a God?
Exist in the universe is only the beginning. How do you then exist in the universe with others is the issue. If we're all gods, like samurais and etc., isn't it likely then that, well, we're all gods, I'm bigger god than you are, don't mess with me?
I've worked on that one.
Yeah, I know. So how do you deal with this? If you want the authority, and we've talked about this, and I talked about it several times, then how do you live the authority? Do you want the authority so that you can tell everybody else what to do and how to do it and when to do it? What does authority in life mean?
It actually means that I will live as I desire all the time, fully knowing that the universe will be to me as I am to the universe at all times.
But you don't really believe that. You're still struggling against God's authority. You don't, what we said before is, can't you look at that and be the Lord of yourself? Isn't that what you just said? No, you want to not only be the Lord of yourself, you want to be the Lord or have authority over others to tell them what they should do.
Actually, I think that would be very, very correct until relatively recently I find myself just drifting away from that.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If you're drifting away from that, is it possible that the only reason you're drifting away from that is because it doesn't work? Why don't you drift back to that and say then, what is it that I want to work?
But didn't I just say that? This is the conundrum I have.
But you
right
said
now,
what you did, wait, but what you did is you said about authority, but you put that in the duality structure. While it's fine, you want to have the authority to live as you want. but you've put it into the duality structure of that you have that authority or you don't have that authority. And if anybody screws with you, then you are going to authority over them. Because the question still comes back, how are you going to live that authority?
I right at this moment, I don't seem to have an answer to that.
That's
question.
The problem. Here is this guy from North Kahala calling me, Roger, is there a God? Is there a being or beings that we call God? Do they exist? What would you tell him? Now, talk to me about that. What would you say to him? And he's disrupted your cooking dinner, and so you're willing to set all of your dinner aside. This is the most important question ever. Your whole life begins and ends or struggles upon this one question. It's chapter one of your life. It's chapter one of Angela's, gotta be chapter one of Angela's book. It's chapter one of everybody's life. Is there a God or is there not? Or what alternative might there be?
We're back to giving my own standards. Be and live my own.
Wait. You didn't answer my question. Live your own standard and God will strike you with lightning.
Then I'm lost completely now.
But that's right, isn't it? If there is a God and you live by your own standards, then God or the Lord can have you done in as a samurai, and the Lord can strike you dead.
But this is my confusion. I thought in our conversation about showing and describing how the universe can work and me in the universe can work without a God, I thought we dealt with that.
But if there is no, even St. Augustine mentioned this, Christianity brings this up. You have to fear God. If there is no fear of God or retribution, what will make you live as you truly desire without abusing authority?
I don't know that that's necessarily abusing authority. Why do you think that's the next step?
It is, because if there is a God and you haven't dealt with that issue, then there is. And God is the authority. And if there is no God, there is no authority greater than you, then you're exempt from doing anything you want to do.
Then you suggest in that option that we'll all run amok.
I think so. That's where God, as we have God today, as the authority, as they give you everlasting life or punish you in one way or another, is based on that. If you want to get rid of religion's God, then you've get and live as you truly desire, then there is no threat nor limitation to your desires. Now,
Roger, I need some Roger, I need some coordinates on this conversation. I was following based on the picture or the description of the universe of, you know, random and reactions that we got to the point where there was no God, but it sounds like you're taking this from a whole new, fresh approach.
No, what I said is everybody believes, because they're living their loner body, and for 6,000, 10,000, 15,000 years, the ancestors of your loner body have said there is a God, and this is the way God functions.
Mm-hmm.
And you believe that. Now, if you're going to overcome that and recreate your body and self as you truly desire, then you have to come up against that. You can't just say, no, there is no God, because that gives you free rein to murder and pillage.
So what? That question comes up. If there is no God, so what?
Then I will kill you for murder and punishment.
So what?
Because you can't... The point is, so what doesn't function? How do you want to function with the authority? You're just saying, I want the authority to do as I damn well please. Well, okay, then I get to murder you, and that's okay. Or how do you want to function with that authority? If you want that authority, how do you want to function it? Or, if there is a God, how do you want God to function it?
You have to deal with both, or can you just take one?
What?
Do you have to deal with both, or can you just take one?
What do you mean?
Can you just pick one and live that way? Can you just pick, there is no God, and I'll live it, my life in this way?
That's right, but you then have no standard for living yourself, have you?
I think there's something to that, yeah. There's no standard...
There's no standing for that you live by or that guides your authority. And
that's
if there is a God, then God is the standard and the authority. Now what will you do? This is the whole concept of the loner being. Body. The loner body came up because I asked you several weeks before that, are you willing to accept that there is a framework for you
mm-hmm.
to be and live in life? And you said yes. Is it possible then that I said that your loner self and life and beliefs are the framework that upon which you change and live accordingly?
Okay, I remember that, yeah.
Okay. So here we are. Well, then answer this guy's question. Is there a God or is there not? For him, that's the end of the question. Yes or no?
Mm-hmm. That's the end of the question, sounds like.
Well, that sounds like that. But what we have said
all
our times is there is a third option. At least a third option.
Mm-hmm.
And we did discuss the difference between options and alternatives. At the last gathering.
I know we talked about all that, but that was just to my earlier point. I know you know we talked about it, and I'm so sorry, but I just can't remember it all. That's what I'm saying. So I can't apply it right now.
I know that, but I'm trying to tell you the only reason you can't remember it all is because you won't put it into a context. And Andrew put it into an Andrew context, and you don't have to remember it. It hangs there.
Oh, that would be good. Okay.
You're trying to remember it without a context for remembering.
That's true.
All right. Thank you.
Well, I got no hooks in my room right now, I'll tell you.
I don't disagree with that. But the point is, if you want a context in this, there's a beginning context that I told the guy from North Kahala. You have to decide.
What did you tell him?
Oh, well, I'm not going to necessarily tell them, because what I told him and what you might tell him might be entirely different, because my God might be different than your God, or no God, or under God.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you beat the living Jesus out of us if you think we got the concept wrong.
What? I don't do that. Tell me your damn context. And I don't care. All right, let's go on with tonight. So, we're wondering, how do we present this so anybody makes sense of it or understands it or gives a shit? Well, loner body means, among other things, that if you have a loner body, then you must regenerate that body. Well, how the hell do I do that? I can't change my body. That's the way I am. No, that's really not true. So I wrote and sent out the thing on stem cells and stem cells to show that how the physical body truly changes or may, but yet at the same time maintains itself. Then that gives you a clue of exactly how you can change your body from the get-go. You look the same, everybody thinks you're the same, but you're an entirely different person. And I discussed that in the nature and context of stem cells, how they function in the body and how you can function them and how science does function them, then you can do that for yourself. Well, if you can do that for your body, you can certainly do the same thing with the self that you inherited as a loner, that came along with your loner body as a loner self. You don't have to be the person you've always been living. Well, that blew over everybody's head. So let's go then to the next question. What we've been thinking about in all of this is, well, how the hell are we going to get this across? What are we going to do? And part of what I said in our conversation with Miss M is, well, as long as life's not too bad, everybody keeps on the same old shit. And they don't change anything until there's a crisis, and usually it's a health crisis. Health crisis meaning they're getting old enough that death is approaching. Like women usually at 60 realize, whoa, there's not a whole lot of time left. And men get there at 50 or so. And if absent that, nobody gives a shit. Well, I had this dream, and here's the dream. Here's information first. Years ago, back in the 60s, middle 60s, I designed a hospital for the Navy at ADAC, that's out of Aleutian, ADAC Naval Air Station. Now, I've never dreamed about that, but I had this dream that I was at the hospital, yet it was entirely different. There, I think there's one tree on ADAC, but in the dream there were a lot of other nice buildings, and the hospital was fit among the buildings, and there were trees and grass and bushes and everything else. So it was a nice setting. So I went in the hospital, and the hospital on the outside, which I didn't think was the hospital, the outside was all red, R-E-D. When I went inside, everything in the hospital, including the people walking around in the hospital, were red. Nice shade of red, bluish red. I said, I don't remember doing that, but that's really, really nice. But then I wasn't really in, I was in the hospital building, but where I was in the lobby of a big auditorium. Well, I don't remember designing that in the hospital, so, but that was it. I knew it was the ADAC hospital. It was all red. It was in a bunch of other nice buildings, and it fit very nicely in the context of all of the building. And even the red of it was sort of carried over as trim in the adjacent buildings. No events, I was just there. Well, in the nature of what I'm talking about in all of this, what does that help or signify to you? Anything? I guess not. But here's what it signifies to me. When I originally started Forever Living, when I started here, rather than 40 years before that, it started on the basis that I started to write out people that I knew were going to the hospital to have operations. And I knew that they didn't know what was going to happen. So I thought, you know, what the hospital needs to do is create a manual to discuss or to tell people what's going to happen in taking or going for an operation so they wouldn't be uninformed. And in the process of doing that, then I got to thinking, well, what the hell does, if I'm going to do that, I have to tell them something about their illness, their problem, their difficulty, what it means in their life. And so then I started to think, well, every time I read a book about health or something like that, they all tell me something different about a certain illness or a problem. The question that I asked myself, is there a common belief about what an illness might reveal about how someone is living their life, so that we could even say that or give that information to someone going into the hospital? So I started a clip art file, 3 3-inch notebooks of information about all the illnesses. And I found out there was some certain coherence in what illnesses meant, but there was a lot of scattered, useless information. And that's when I decided to write that descriptionary. This is back in the middle 90s. So I started writing that. No, I guess that was back in the 80s. Yeah. Started writing that. And in 90 or 91, 92, something like that, well, we went to Alaska and presented health and understanding and all of that kind of stuff. We met several people that had their illnesses, Two of them had cancer. And we got to talking to one gal in particular and describing what her illness revealed about the life she had been living. And then when we came back, her illness got worse. And so then I used the descriptionary, what we've been talking about, to describe herself and life that she'd been living all her life. And she wrote back then that said, you know, you've described everything about my life, even to the point of describing when she was farmed out to her grandparents and she peed in her pants and a bunch of things like that. So we said, well, it's obvious that the descriptionary functions. If I can take an ill person and then describe their life, is it possible that we can reverse that and say, if you're living this way, then this is the illness you will have? So we tested it both ways with people and everything else. We finally decided that the descriptionary then gave a reasonably good image or picture of the self that people were living. And if I knew the individual, I knew the illness, and we'd go to parties and people would come up and say, you know, I hear you do this. My son, I remember one, has a certain type of cancer. I said, okay, don't tell me anything about your son. Tell me only about the cancer. And then I will, from that cancer, describe your son, which did, which she said fit in perfectly the life she's been living. So out of that, then we decided, somewhere along in here, Connie came into it, and we had presented this by that time in Alaska, and it all functioned well. Then Connie came in, and she wanted to deal with this. I said, fine, hey. And so I switched from what I was writing at that time to write the descriptionary of illnesses and problems in your life. And from that, Connie modified it to call the wisdom of the body, which is okay, that's fine, and presented it. And she was going to present it to professionals, but she chickened out on that. But anyway, so the more it got presented and out there, the more it proved to be, or seemed to be, completely valid. Okay, apply that to the dream. The hospital I designed is medical stuff. But now, all of a sudden, or whatever, in the dream, it's an auditorium. This half of it is an auditorium, and everything is red. Now, I interpret that to mean that if we want to present this stuff, we have to present it in a medical sort of way, or in the way the descriptionary was written, but we must present it in a way that it will be read and to a greater audience. Well, I didn't want to teach medical stuff, and still don't. But the red tells me what I need to do is to write it so it can be read. So all of this stuff, loner body, stem cell, all the other stuff, I sent it out so you could read it, because I had been working on this ahead of time. Now the reason for sending it out is that if I say it, you don't hear it. If I say it, you change the words. If I write it, even if you change the words, it's still read or said as I said it to be. So the question of tonight is, how would you like all this stuff, how would you like to read this stuff? What would create you or cause you to read the loner body and understand it, or read the stem cell and give a shit about any of that so that you could apply it in your life? That's an open question.
I have begun to reread that pericope. And I'm reading it very, very slowly and highlighting areas that I think I need to ask some questions. And I will continue to read this very slowly, because I think that there is some understandings that are available to me if I take the time and I give it the time and the interest. I believe it is important to me. I think you've asked questions that I can't answer, and I'd surely like to answer them. So I'm already engaged in rereading that pericope.
Yeah, but it is now two things. One is I changed the nature of passages instead of of paragraphs into passages. Now, there's a reason for that, is that passages only give you a small lump to consider. And each passage is complete within itself. And each, since I use exclamations, each declarative sentence is complete within itself. So that, and then, while I use a font that I like, the font was intended to get you to lead slow. And the declarative statements were to get you to understand little pieces before moving on. Whereas sentences, that you can blow the sentence off, it doesn't matter, and go to the next sentence, and the end of the paragraph, and then all you need, all you're doing at the end of a paragraph, maybe, is arriving at some conclusion. I want you to know, to read slow, and know every declarative in each, what would otherwise be a sentence, there might be three declaratives. Understand each declarative. And then the passages, so that you only have a little bit to know at, or understand at a time. And to ponder over that. How does this declarative or this passage change my life? Or what would I do? Or do I not give a shit? Okay, fine, that's okay. It also allows you can mix them up in any way you want to. We have to, if we're going, so what we've decided to do, sort of, is redo the descriptionary, which means rewriting about 1,800 pages, which is okay. I don't really know yet how to present that other than as the way we have already presented. That's the hospital side of the dream. So the question is, how do we present it from the auditorium side of the hospital dream? How do I get this across? Because it doesn't do any good if you have asthma and you look up asthma. Okay, that's fine. And that doesn't mean squat, because the point of all that I've been trying to say is it possible for you to understand and live your life? Here you are. You won the lottery. Now, is it possible for you to live your life in such a way as you don't get to this problem, either in a health problem or to the end of your life and say, well, what the hell was that all about? As four of my very good friends in Fairbanks did. Three of them with cancer, two of them with suicide because of that, and it's there. The point of all this was to not get you there. And how would I present that? How would you want it presented so that you would say, well, you know, life's pretty frigging good. I think I'll change everything. Because what I've said before, you will never change what you don't accept. You'll only try to change and never succeed what you don't accept. Like, if your life isn't too bad, well, what's wrong with that? But it's only when you are willing to fully accept your life as it is, do you have a possibility of changing your life. And everybody says, well, if it's okay the way it is, why should I change it? I can give you stories about that. But let's back to where we were. Because if it is all right and you don't change it, it probably will come to a point later on in your life where the concept of death and meaningfulness or what your life is all about will come to the foreground. And though I would rather be able to then deal directly with that, if nobody will read it, or how could I present it relative to the health stuff? I don't know. I haven't really solved that problem yet, so that I could get you to then deal with yourself and life from a new or a different perspective, so that you don't get to even need the descriptionary of health. Anybody got any good ideas on that?
No, not immediately, but I'll help you by working on the problem as well.
Well, I've been writing very, very carefully for the last week or so. It's not very long, it's very short, about. And I was going to originally call it, Is There a God? So it started out, Is There a God? What I told this fella from North Kahala. And then I added to it. Where did everything go amok? And it doesn't do me any good to say, well, religion is crap. Where did it all go wrong? How did we get into this mess, and what do we do about it? This is a, it was originally titled, Is There a God? Or then I gave it several other titles, etc. I really don't know what will it take for anybody, and I can only say it this way, to give a shit.
Hey, Roger, I have a question for you, though. Since you've said before, and I can't recall a specific conversation, but I will say that you and I have talked certain at length that really the only way to get this across seems to be individual talking, one person at a time, so you can follow and track. If you write it, doesn't that impose certain problems of written language?
Of course it does, but, you know, if you listen, if you read, go back and read The Loner Body. Go back and read Stem Cell. And tell me whether I language that or use the language to describe what I was talking about.
Oh, I understand that. I'm just saying your readership, the people who are reading it, will language it.
They can do any fucking thing they want to, and I can't deal with that. But it is said. That means I've got to said very particularly. So if Madam X screws it up or Charlie Brown screws it up, maybe somebody will read it the way I have written it and understand it that way.
All right.
I can't write it to accommodate everybody. I have to write it to say what I want it to say. If that doesn't accommodate, and there's a lot of people who would say, what a pile of crap that is. And that's okay. But I will have said what I want to say. But since I've been talking to you guys, I've said and presented this up to now to learn how to say or present what it is that I want to say. And now I'm sort of...
And then how...
What?
And then from that, are you looking for us to put it into our lives?
I don't care if you don't put it in. The only reason I would care about whether you put it into your life is maybe I haven't said it in any way that makes a difference to you. That's the only thing. I don't really care if you don't put it in your life. Hell, that's your life, not my life.
All right. No, I was just curious because the way we started off tonight.
The way we started off tonight is still based on what do I say and how... Here you are. Now, what do I say or don't say that is something that you are likely to apply in your life? right now, applying it in your life, is based on, is there a God or is there not a God? Is death final or is there something after death? If there is after death, and I don't know what that is, I'd better rely on God to give me a life after death. And so, okay, then I'll accept and have faith that there is a God. Now, that then is the fundamental basis of your life. And if I say, no, that's not, then that threatens every aspect of your life. You don't want to take a chance at saying, well, there is no God, and living that, because God may be the only source of everlasting life. How do we get around that conundrum? And even if I show you otherwise, you don't listen, or won't listen, or don't care. I don't really care. So I'm asking for some help. All these years, where? 18 years with Pat, 15 years with Andrew, and however long. I'm finally asking, give me some frigging help in this, so that when I start beginning to rewrite and represent 1,800 pages of the descriptionary, along with all this other stuff, what is the format that would be of significance or interest to you? Doesn't seem that one question is too much to ask.
Well, the first thing that I come to mind with is that even with your medical descriptionary that you've written, it's fascinating the way it parallels precisely how people have been living their lives. But it's the what do you do about it question that comes up. And like we've been talking about tonight, if they're living in a God-centered universe, what is it, the descriptionary, going to end up being anything more than a really neat curiosity that they can talk to their friends about, but given that they're trapped in a God-centered universe, they'll never do anything about it?
I don't care. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I agree 100% with you. But let's not talk about they can talk with the sons about this. What if you have an illness that, or you have a friend that has an illness, and how would you apply this to yourself or to your friends? What would be necessary? You see, it isn't life and all of this regenerating your loner self is not, you don't live that loner, you don't have to live that loner self until you die. Anywhere along the line, you could regenerate your loner self. And a loner body and self and beliefs and understandings. And the presumption of that is in that that will make substantial changes in the illness that you are living. So, like Jesus said, where he said you got to be born again, you were born of water, now you have to be born of spirit. And I'm saying, okay, you were born of parents and lived a loner body. Anywhere along the line, you can regenerate your body to be and live as you truly desire. You can be born again. And in that, then, I think you can make serious inroads into some damage that you have done to your loner body. Not necessarily all of it, nor cure yourself, But in this, then you can say, well, then, God damn it, right now I intend to be, to regenerate my body, to be, as he said, born again. Don't necessarily like that, but be born as I am and live then as I am and truly desire to be, rather than living the loner self as my parents were, or as the beliefs have been going on for 10,000 years. I don't have to believe that. Fact is, my struggle against that is probably why I have an illness in the first place. For instance, Andrew, I don't exactly know the words you said, but do you know anybody that's really living a true and as they desire life over in Honolulu? Well, I guess Andrew went to the bathroom.
No, I was changing. I had to flip the tape. No, I don't think I do.
So everybody's living and struggling against a loner body and self and the environment of beliefs that came with that. So you don't have to wait until your sickness or at death's door, or you got no relationships or whatever is going on. You can make the change early in life, but you can also then regenerate yourself significantly later in life. But why wait? Why not, as let's say the physician is dealing with your illness, you can regenerate yourself and life as you truly desire, so that you're not working against what the physician is doing. But you could have done that earlier. You could have started. But it's never too late to then at least begin. Well, how do you want that presented? I mean, there's 10,000 illnesses.
Hey, Roger, I got some, what, some words for you. I don't know if it's going to help, but here's what I think. You know, like you're saying, is there anybody over here, anybody anywhere I know living as life as they truly desire? No, I think generally everybody would say, in some regard, you know, life is a bit of a struggle. Maybe they'd even say life sucks. What I find people tend to be primarily interested in is sort of like their day-to-day situation. Now, it doesn't have to necessarily be a problem, but it can be a problem, or it's just when they wake up in the morning, it's like, oh, well, I wonder what, you know, today will be like. And I think that people come back and read, you know, time to time things that are new and updated, and especially want to know, if they have a problem, what do I do about it? So, like, for example, daily people will go and look up astrology or whatever it is in the newspaper or online or whatever. So what I'm trying to get at here is, and this would be complicated probably, but I don't know, you know, if there was a way to take the information, like you said before, in passages, and you toss them all up in the air, you bring them down, you read them, and it says something in a whole new way, if there was a way to present information that can be given in a new sort of a new put together daily, whether that's promise cards or, I don't know what, descriptionary things that are assembled in a certain way, that might get people back every day to see what new thing is being said about their life today, or them today, or whatever.
I don't disagree. My problem is, one size doesn't fit all. And so therefore,
this is the point.
If you don't have a problem today, let's say about your loner body, well, my body's doing okay, so you don't do anything about it, see?
Well, like, for example, I can say that when we did the Javala Asava Massage gathering, at one of my, whatever it was, treatments or whatever, what came up was the letter K, and in that description area, whatever it was, K had to do with abdomen. And I didn't have any abdominal issues at the moment that I was aware of, but in the, I guess, following 8 months or whatever, I came up with problems with acid reflux and things. And well, I guess to say, like, well, yeah, Andrew, you didn't do anything about it. And it's true, I didn't really even know what it was to do about. But it did give me a sense that I always remember that there's a hell of a lot more going on in my life and to pay attention than I realized.
How do we get that across? When you, how do you get it across that you're almost living two separate lives at the same time?
Right there, that's a good place to start. Or at least to just say it. I think so. Maybe it has to be, maybe, hey, I don't know, maybe it has to be written that way, Roger, such that there's two things that you read at once. I don't know. To really put you in the mindset of, okay, body loner, body life today, okay, got it. And, what do I call it? The self, the universal self, the eternal self today, and live them together.
Okay, let's, since everybody complains about just about the time you catch up, I go run ahead. Do you understand when I say the universe is so plenary that it is as it is and is as you are and is also as everyone else is? Does that make sense to you?
Yep, it does.
Okay, then let me go to this question. Does it make sense to you to say that you are so plenary that you are living today as you are, and you also living today as someone entirely different, and as entirely different than that?
Yeah, I had thoughts that before, yeah, but yeah, it makes sense.
And if we say then that, are we willing to say then that physical life gives form and existence to spiritual life?
Yes, I'll go there, definitely.
Yeah, but you see, what you've done in living with religion says spiritual life is everything. Important. But I'm saying is that physical life gives form and meaning to anything that is spirit or spiritual. Without physical life, spiritual is nothing. That turns religion right on its ear.
Right, but it also makes more sense to me of life and form and all this that I've, you know, been living than any other explanation I've ever seen. It's just habitually, like you say, I got to remember to remind myself of that when I get tracking in the tradition.
Yeah, but you live that spiritual is all important without a thought about it. What would make you live the return of that, the opposite of that? Spiritual life is everything. I mean, is nothing. Physical life is everything. Because no matter what spirit or spiritual may be, it has no former existence. And what does it take for you to turn that around and live it just as simply as, whether you like it or not, you think that spiritual life is after death? Is it all important? Why not turn that around and say, then I can create my physical life after death? What would it take to do any of these things? That, and if you're sick, you say, well, I'm hurting, and you think then that suffering and etc. of physical life is what you have to endure, and limitations and restrictions of physical life is what you have to endure. None of that is true. None of that is true at all. What would it take to get you to say, that's stupid? Spiritual life has nothing to offer. And then if you're going to go there, let's go the next thing. Well, Roger says emergent is the process of the universe. Well, my golly, I understand that. Put two constituents together and I have an emergent. Well, okay. What do you suppose if you put spirit and physical together, what might be emergent from that? That is realer than physical might be real, and is realer than even spiritual might or spirit might be real. Continue the emergent expansion in that way. Put physical self, spirit self together, and what self do you have? Did you really think that this whole universe was created just for these little spiritual bullshit concepts of religion? Or your physical suffering, misery, restricted limitations of physical life? Or am I just, like saying, pissing up wind? Well, I guess that's all. If you got any good ideas, any idea, good, bad, or indifferent, I don't really care. Send them to me. Write me a note. We had originally, I was going to create this more in terms of dreams. Everybody has dreams, and you have them all the time, and etc. But I can't get you even interested in dreams, and I can't get you to understand what the dreams might be saying or indicating, but whatever. Any other ideas, I'll be glad to have them on an email. Okay?
Alrighty.
Okay.
All right. I'll keep thinking of them.
Okay. Any ideas, they don't have to be complete or anything. They just something that might stir up something. That's what I'm going to do it that way. Okay, well, good night for Monday. Mm-hmm.